Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 647. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Okay, so I have two questions.
Yeah.
What do you think will be longer, the intro to this podcast or Aaron Rodgers' season with the Jets? And my second question is, do you think Rodgers will become a unit of time like Scaramucci's? Like, how many Rodgers is this intro long? Like, is it five Rodgers? Like,
the intro is definitely going to be longer.
I feel bad, but I also feel it deserves it.
Four minutes into the game, was that how long?
Right, but he himself was only on the field for four snaps.
Four snaps, yeah. But like the clock, like his season with the Jets was 4 minutes long.
4 minutes. So maybe this intro will not make it to 4 minutes. It is possible.
It's possible, but maybe, we're already rolling in on over a minute, and we haven't introduced Earl, who is also here.
I just want to let you folks know that I'll be charging 20 cents per word I say in this podcast going forward.
Going forward, from when?
Oh,
from
wait, no. You know what? I'm going to put that in perpetuity. It's going to be backwards too. So any word I've said on this podcast, I'm going to charge. You know what? Never mind. I changed my mind. We'll come up with this policy at some point, but I'm going to start charging per word. We'll figure out what it means when I say words, and you know, does A and I count? Who knows? We'll make up this policy as we go.
I mean, it only applies to like 5% of podcasts, right? I mean, most of them, like the word count doesn't really matter.
Charge per download.
Plus, I mean, really, like, who knows how many downloads are there? We're just gonna keep track of this via the proprietary word counting technology. I'm not going to tell you what the counts actually are. We'll just let you know what the bill is at the end.
Yeah.
Seems like a legit way to handle things. Like, I'm going to hold all the cards and just tell you what you owe me at some point.
That seems fair. I don't see what's wrong with that.
It seems great, right?
And Jeff is here as well.
The most money you've ever made for 4 minutes of work.
Oh yeah, Jesus Christ, he did. He made a lot of money for
30 million, I think.
Now, to be fair, he also had like all the off season and the preseason. Like, yeah, he worked longer than that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but that's like saying you made a ton of money because you went to orientation.
Fair. Yeah.
I mean, he got this big. I mean, I don't think it lasted as long, but he got that big razzle dazzle entrance.
That was maybe the best thing I saw, was somebody like Aaron Rodgers season highlights with the Jets, and it's just him running out of the tunnel and the end.
That's it. It, as a Bears fan, you have to like get joy where you can, and that was joy. That was pure joy. I remember asking Tony to give me the video of it. I was like, stick that into my veins.
I think even more joy for you though, Jeff, was I think Earl put it into the into our group chat. The bar in Wisconsin that's like, if the Jets lose, like win. Like, yeah. And all these people, when Rodgers went down, they all throw yeah, and then they all started like running up tabs. I fucked at the end because the Jets won.
That's okay. Even better that the Jets won. It gets without him. Yeah.
It's even, I was going to say, terrible for the Bills, because it's like, oh, their star QB went down in his first, not his first play, but their first. And it's like, oh, and they had to pivot, and you folks still lost in overtime.
You know what is, speaking of without Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, that new quarterback.
Love.
Not new, but whatever, yeah. We don't like him. We're not fans of him here.
I mean, would you be? Like, you wouldn't cheer for Green Bay, right?
His smug look. Oh, it was just too much after just... The Bears are fucking terrible, dude. Like, they've just been terrible forever. They never change. Nothing ever gets better. They got worse from last year.
This
somehow.
Year, they're under new ownership. It's just Great. Love instead of Rodgers.
Yeah. And not fans. We're not fans. We have no love for love.
You know, the big winners of that game were Dolphins and Patriots fans, because we got to see that both Rodgers went down and Allen looks absolutely terrible. Like, I love both of those things.
Well, and it, like, so, like, the Jets are a non-factor in the AFC East now without Rodgers. Like, they're done. Like, if they had any hope, they did, but they're not going to consistently win. Like, that was a fluke fucking thing. And Allen played so bad that, like, he won't do that all year. Like, the Bills will recover.
You think that Rodgers is done now?
It's like Achilles is the worst possible sports injury to come back from. I mean, you're like, if your arm gets taken off or something,
your head gets removed.
But when you get to a certain age, you're like, the Achilles is something that it's really hard to rehab from. And generally, when athletes come back from that, they're significantly diminished. It's not like ACL and like knee injuries, they've kind of like gotten some like expertise on. Achilles, like, it's a ligament. It's really hard to.
He was old. He was already old to begin with. Yeah. Like,
I mean, he's 39, right? It's not like
he'll be 40,
and that's the age when your ligaments like lose elasticity, and like that's why people should not be athletes at that age anymore.
An investment there.
I remember. Like Marino got hurt with he hurt his Achilles, and like he was not a mobile quarterback to begin with, but when he came back he was just a statue. Like, he could not move. So Rodgers was a little more mobile, but I can't see him coming back at this at least at the same caliber. Like, he's gonna have a rough year if he comes back next year.
I kind of think he'll cash his check and go.
I mean, he should absolutely, like, where I am, I would rehab as hard as I can and come back and cash my $50 million check and then retire.
Is he still with Shailene Woodley?
No, they broke up.
Oh, is she available?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not friends with her personally.
Are you available, Jeff? That's my question.
No, but... exceptions, like
is she on the cheat list? Is that like
the
one
hall,
of your
the
three?
Hall pass? Yeah, I would put her on the hall pass.
Earn Florence Pugh.
I know Chris Florence Pugh for you. If I had to choose one, and you guys can make fun of me, I don't give a shit. Miley.
I think we already knew that. Like, I could have said Miley for you without having heard that.
But there's like a million on the list. There's Shailene Woodley. There's keep going down the line. Stone.
Most people don't get like a like laundry list. You get like five. Right?
Look, here's the thing. It's never going to happen. So I could have a very long list.
Pick as many as you want.
Fair enough. That's fair.
What were we talking about?
Nothing.
Aaron Rodgers, but that intro definitely went longer than 4 minutes. So
yes, it was like 12 Rodgers long. All right, awesome.
I'm gonna tell that next time I'm having sex. I'm gonna be like, I went 3 Rodgers. I went half a Roger.
That'll be interesting to try to explain that one. Like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah, so some more Starfield, I assume, was played. I don't know if you guys played anything else besides Starfield. Earl, you have not played Starfield.
Not yet, no. Yet.
Earl, it's a free game. It's on Game Pass. Big
it's
game.
I
want to look into.
Yeah, maybe.
It's pretty good. You've not played a Bethesda game, though. We have explored this previously.
Yes.
So that'll be weird. Interesting. I'm honestly interested to see what somebody that's never played a Bethesda game thinks of these types of games after jumping into it.
They're so good. who has been playing the story of Starfield? Can we talk about the story at all?
I think we can talk a little bit about the story. We can talk around the story.
I'm laughing because my kitten just got his head stuck in a potato chip bag and was running around my apartment with the bag stuck on his head.
Baghead kitty.
That's pretty good.
Well, I'm looking for my phone desperately. I did not grab it in time. It's a shame. I mean, I wanted to rescue him, obviously.
But also, like...
Also, photographic
evidence. Get that ridiculousness. sure, Jeff. Spoilers for Starfield. What did you want to talk about?
One, I got to where I'm assuming you said like things change or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
it goes from being a pretty like standard, you're a space person, you're exploring space and stuff, to space magic.
Yes. And you know what's funny? Since I've gotten, and I'm assuming we all get the same spell or whatever you want
to
call it.
To start off with, yeah, that first one. Yeah.
Yeah, I've not used it once.
I keep forgetting you about
forget
it.
Yes, it, I forget yeah. about it. Yeah,
it's like I'm in the middle of a firefight. I'm throwing grenades. I'm shooting shit. I'm not hitting the fly in the air button. Like I can't remember how to fusro da.
It's yeah, exactly. It's both bumpers, right?
Yeah, it's like a super in just about any other game.
It's like Skyrim's shouts, kind of. It's not like it'd be cool. I wonder if you could get like you know regular spells, like you shoot electricity or you know something.
There's a bunch of them apparently.
Yeah,
so you can go out and find more.
Yeah, there are more of those temples to explore and get more powers.
But also, like, what do you think of the story and? I'm trying to like figure out what I could say, but
it's hard to talk about story without spoiling it. I like some of the side quests are really, really fun. I haven't gotten far enough in the main quest, although I was playing that mission you were referencing the other night.
Yes,
on Neon.
So yes. There's consequences too. I guess I'm assuming Chris and Tony, you guys have both played through what I'm talking about, which is where like you lose people. It's very interesting too when you go back to Atlantis. I like really love how like the city changes. Like it's like all of a sudden there's like signs everywhere. It's like lockdown, like security state kind of type of thing. I thought that was really neat. I'm guessing you could lose different people though, because I lost some guy, and I think it was based on a choice. Do you guys know what I'm talking about, or
no?
So I don't think we are. I don't think we're Tony and I are talking about a different mission that you had referenced in the chat. I don't know if we are. We have reached that piece yet.
Okay. Well, now I don't know what I could say.
Nothing.
Basically, you can make a choice, like to protect, you know, where you're at, or go help someone else. And based on that, somebody died. Like someone significant in the story died for me.
Oh no!
And I'm assuming that like.
Depending upon who you choose,
where you choose to go, yeah. And I was actually very happy that it went the way it did for me because I was trying to romance Sarah. I'm assuming Sarah would have died if I made the other choice. But the story itself, I want to say it. Can I say it? I'm not gonna like, not gonna go like into detail, but I want to say what I want to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's very. It's like the thing, it's like the trendy thing, the multiverse. That's what the story is. It's a multiverse.
Yeah, I figured as much.
You did?
Based on like okay. Based on the talk of like the New Game Plus stuff and...
Yeah, I wonder if that is what's special about... I was thinking that. I was like, is that what's special about the New Game Plus? Is that it's like a multiverse type deal? But yeah, it's like...
How does that work?
You know, you're playing through different versions of what would happen, something like that. I don't know, but
yeah, it's not maybe the multiverse in like the way it's portrayed in like Doctor Strange, where there's like these wacky verses that are out there. More like you're playing through a different iteration.
Someone lived, someone died.
Yeah.
So
parallel universes.
Yes, parallel universes.
But yeah, like I guess not to spoil it too much, but that's like kind of what the whole thing is. So I don't know how you guys feel about it.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I think it's like, you know, I'll say this. I am enjoying the story more than I usually enjoy stories in video games, but it is still very much like, I don't know. Like, it's not like this. It's not like blowing me away. I'm just like, I'm drawn in because of the type of game it is. Like, I like,
and I think that's always, yeah, well, I think we talked about this last week that like the main story in this being actually something you want to play through is weird for a Bethesda game, because normally that's like the weakest portion of their games. Like all the side quests are really well written and stuff, but also it's not why you come to these games really. Like yeah, the story stuff is fun, the side quests are fun, but like you're really just out there kind of just screwing around in space.
Well, I mean, and it is interesting, like, the main thing I want to talk about is the story. Like, you know, like, and we're kind of, like, doing it, like, talking around it. But, yeah, I think, like, it's weird, because, like, I do think it is, it's relying on very well-trodden tropes and stuff. Like, it's just... To me, there's something like amazing about the story, but like because of the type of game it is, it's like that's what's drawing me into it. Like, is that part? I don't know how to explain what I'm saying.
I think that makes sense. Like, I think it has really strong characters. I think there's a interesting enough storyline that's
kind interesting of enough. Yes. Yeah.
And like you want to keep doing it, and then like. You know, you see something shiny off on the side, and you go track that down for 3 hours.
And then yeah, I'm getting distracted by shiny things. I can't help myself.
See, I've been pretty...
gotten into like the base building or anything.
No, that's the funny thing is like hearing you guys talk about the game. Like you're talking about working on your ship and the base building and stuff, and it's like those things I have done zero on, and I don't even know how to, you know. Whatever. I don't even know how to build a base. Like, I have no idea.
The game does not explain it well. I have been using, like, online tutorials and, like, what do I do? Because it does not walk. Maybe it does at some point, but I don't remember it ever walking me through, like, this is how you put down the beacon, and this is how you get the resources that you need to build this thing and that thing, and...
I wonder if you could play through the game and not do that stuff, because so far I think
you absolutely can.
And I kind of like that. I mean, it's interesting because like in Fallout 4 they force it on you, and in Fallout 76 it's like central to the game is building your base. And here it's like I know it's a thing that exists. Like I'm aware of it just because you guys have said it. Like I have avoided all that. Like I've just been playing through the story shit.
I think that's because like your base, your real base is your ship. So you always have that like as the player. And then there's like this ancillary stuff where Tony's going off and building forts on moons and shit.
Yeah.
Like we don't have to do that because we have our base. It's a mobile base. It goes with us everywhere. And we can upgrade that by buying stuff or playing with the ridiculous Lego set. But like I've watched some tutorials on that. I'm like, I don't have time for this. Like,
so have you guys done base building or no?
I have three right now. Yeah. Well, you need different ones because different planets have different resources.
I reached a point in the story where they're like, you could put this thing in a base, like on one of your outposts. I was like, I don't have outposts. Or you can put it on your ship. I was like, I'll put it on my ship. My ship is my base, like Chris said. Like, that is kind of, if anything, I would mess with the ship. But even that, I had to, there was one point where I had to make a jump, and they said, you need a ship that could jump 22 light years or something, and my cool ship that I had could not do that, and so I had to buy another ship. Actually, there was a cheap one that did do 22 light years, so now I'm like in this junk ship, but it could it can jump far. So yeah, and actually I don't even know how to switch my ship now. Like I think I'm
you can just go into the ship's menu and like choose a new home ship. It's not
okay.
There's a lot of menus.
There's so many menus. In fact, I like don't spend a lot of time walking around planets. Like I almost always fast travel through the menu. Like I don't see any reason to like explore actual planets.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of love that though. Like I love games that are like menu heavy. Like, and this is like very much that. Like it's just...
I mean, it doesn't like it's less of like annoying than trying to find like some point off in the distance. You're like, okay, I just fast travel there. Like, it cuts out all of the middleman. Plus, there's not a whole lot to explore on a lot of these planets. It's just like a lot of empty space.
I hate when you're in an area and like you're like floating in space and the mission is right there. You like you see it and you're like, how the fuck do I get there? And you gotta like click on it, and then be like, you know, jump to mission type, basically. Yeah. Like,
well, I like that you can always go straight to the menu and then jump straight to the mission, like every time.
I think I realized that in the last few days. I'm like, oh, I could just do this. Like, it's so much easier. I really enjoy it. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's, like where else you wanted to go.
I just wanted to kind of like touch on the base building with Tony, mostly because I don't understand it. So you said that like you got to set up different bases on different planets.
Yes.
Because there's different resources. How do you get those? Like, do you set up like a trading route? Does it get delivered to you? Like, how do you get the resource? Do you have to go back there and pick them up? Or
so I think you have to be in the system. You can actually build something in your bases that allow you to like just transfer resources directly from that base onto your ship as long as it's in the system.
Okay.
And then you can build things to link the bases in that system together. So you only need to build that particular like ship linkage once per system.
Okay.
So you're basically like building resource farms. Those farms all dump the resources into one base, and then that base has a hookup that you can, you know, use to get to your ship. You can also build like landing pads in your base and like literally land your ship there. And if you really wanted to, like, you know, walk over, pick up the resources, carry them in yourself. But that seems
just use the menu. Yeah. Okay. I know there's achievements tied to like gathering resources and some of that. So I'll probably poke at it just enough to get that stuff. But
yeah, it's not like I think you can probably build pretty cool. I just don't. I'm not that interested in building cool stuff. I just mostly I'm trying to gather enough resources. There's the one quest where you find the ship above the planet. Have you guys done that one? Where it's like floating above the resort planet?
No. I'll have to find that planet, though. I want to go to a resort planet. That sounds fun.
Yeah, there's a resort planet, and there's a ship of people stranded above it, and you have to help them by gathering resources.
I'm really sticking to the story because I've been told, you know, that's what you do, and then do the side stuff, which is weird. That's one thing that is kind of weird, and I guess, you know, like Tony is going against it. Like it's not like the game tells you have to.
I've gotten stuck. Like I won't say I'm going out and exploring as much as I like followed some of the side quests to the end. Like I did one all the way through the end, which I highly recommend because the ship reward you get at the end makes everything worth it. It is so good.
I also loved the bank heist part of that.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I was able to talk myself through that one, by the way, Jeff. I did.
I did too, eventually, but I had to take a couple chances on it or whatever.
Did you swig the wine, which increases your persuasion chance.
No,
I drank some wine. I walked in there and, you know, offered them some Chardonnay, and they did everything I wanted.
Awesome. I am like so focused on that stat, like just that stat, like, you know, just increasing that one. And that's just the one thing that's a shame to me.
On Neon, there's a special like alcohol they sell there that increases your persuasion by like 30%.
Interesting.
Yeah, and if you spend time on Neon and do the activities, which turn into quests, like if you follow the activity line, like go talk to this guy. They'll give you a quest, and almost all of them have persuasion chances tied to them.
Neon.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That was where, like, I needed 10, and I got 10. Like, I just spent, like, 2 hours doing quests on Neon and ended up getting all the persuasion I needed to unlock level 4.
Yeah, I need 10, and I think I'm at, like, 4. And I did not do all that, but I would say... Neon, I think, is a better like it should have been the hub planet over Atlantis, like because everything's right there. It's like a straight. It's just, you know, it's like fucking downtown Vegas. It's just straight street, yeah. And that's it. Like everything, literally everything that you could get in New Atlantis is there in one spot. Like,
yeah, it's definitely more useful. And then there's Mars, where everything is like buried underground. Great. Let me walk into this tunnel to get stuff. Awesome.
Neon's the one that's the ocean planet. Yes, like I think it's
all ocean. Yeah,
yeah. There's a quest that you end up on the underbelly of it, so like it's open down there, so you can actually see the water. And you're kind of like walking out on like a dock, like, but it's like the slum area, but there's water all underneath. It's kind of neat. And if you do some of the activity quests, or the, I keep wanting to call them radiant quests because that's what they were in Skyrim. But I think that's what these activities are, though. Like, you just, if you walk around long enough, like you'll overhear something. It's like kind of directing you to go talk to somebody or something. So you'll explore a whole bunch more of Neon if you kind of like just walk around and do the activities. It's fun.
Yeah, it's I think it's better than Fallout 4.
Yes.
Really solid, absolutely. Bethesda game. Yeah. I'm super into it. It's kind of like that, and Vampire Survivors are kind of like what I play in my free time.
The only thing it's missing is like if you're walking around the planet, like I want to ride something. Like it
doesn't walk everywhere. Sometimes you have to walk a little bit too, and I'm like, I kept wondering, like, is there a vehicle that you could get? Like, yeah.
Like I don't have the jetpack ability unlocked, but I don't think that's what it's missing.
Like even anyway. Diablo 4 has like the mounts that you get, like you know the horsies and
yeah.
Yeah, I still haven't unlocked that.
In Diablo.
Yeah.
Yeah, me either.
I think you get it. You get pretty late, like fourth at the end of the fourth act or something. Something crazy. Like,
I just started Act 3, and I'm like, there's horses everywhere, right? Like, you go to stables, and they're like, you haven't progressed far enough.
You suck. It sucks. You suck too much to have a horse. Stop sucking.
But I wish there was like a buggy or something that you could just hop into in Starfield, and especially some of these, like what the planet.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
The planet where you go to the temple where you get the space magic, like I got lost, like just wandering around, and so I'm going to all these points that keep coming up, and it's like I'm just walking there, and there's nothing in between the points.
Yeah,
and it's,
you need like a speeder, like in Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's like you don't need anything other than that. You don't need like tanks or cars or whatever. No.
Just like a little buggy or a speeder, exactly.
Like, yeah, some sort of vehicle to make you go faster, yeah. Because, like, yeah, sometimes you'll land on a planet and it's like the mission's way far away. Like,
yeah, and I mean, Todd Howard was out there saying, like, well, we did that because, like, you know, it's handcrafted and we want you to, like, experience. Like, there's a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
There's
nothing interesting about exploring the environment. I'm sorry.
And I mean that's space games. Like there's a lot of nothing in space. Like, but also I want to get to the point that I'm going to.
I mean, also partially my fault for not like, I'm not like scavenging these places like scan all this and all that. Like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just fucking walking to the story point.
That's another thing that.
But I'm they're not interesting. Like,
I'm not a huge fan of their scanning mechanic for the planets. Like in No Man's Sky, like if you scan a bird, like you've scanned the bird. In this, like you have to scan the animal, like eight of them.
Eight times.
And sometimes they're not like readily available.
Like, oh, this one's rare. Oh, great! It's going to be 20 minutes before I see another one. Great, awesome. Forget about that one. I'm not doing it.
And I guess their reasoning is like, oh, we don't expect you to like explore, like to go. But like, that's how people play games. Like, oh, you give me this checklist to do on this planet. Well, I'm here. I might never come back. Let me do it. And they make it just kind of unenjoyable to do that scanning and find. So it's like, I just end up not doing it.
Meanwhile, if you're scanning the minerals, you just scan them once. It's like, oh,
yeah,
like, this planet's obviously full of this mineral because I found it one time.
Like, oh, like we know this is iron, but I have to scan the bird creature 10 times. Like,
can I just kill it? I can scan its corpse and then we can be like really thorough on what it is.
Oh, all right. Well, that is Starfield. Jeff, you played more Vampire Survivors. We talked a lot about that, though. So was there anything more with the co-op with that?
Not really. It's just I'm really, like, loving that game. So, like, it's weird because I would never choose it for Game of the Year over Elden Ring, but in any other year, I would be happy to have that as a Game of the Year game. Like, it's just, it's a cool game, you know?
It is very cool. Earl, since you did not play Starfield, what have you been playing?
I've not been playing Starfield, so apparently I've not been doing anything.
Nothing that matters.
Nothing of that note. I played some stuff, but I guess the big, not the big one today, just kind of tie into news we'll talk about later, is I want to give F-Zero 99 a try.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if Jeff is being sarcastic or not.
I'm not. I mean, it is funny, though, that like F-Zero's return is just that, but I'm interested. Go ahead.
Well, I will say, one, I've been a fan of, like, I guess what I would call the 99 series.
Yeah.
Tetris 99, Mario 35, Pac-Man 99, which I have not played really. And I think that has been, and now this one. So one, the first thing that's different than the other ones is, like, this is an actual direct competition. Like, Mario, you were all played on your own, stuff can interact, but you were still playing on your own screen. This is a race with 99 people. It's you trying to figure out how to navigate that space with a bunch of people.
A lot of vehicles.
Yes. And a lot of, like, knocking into stuff and, like, colliding with the walls. And it's, it's like you kind of want to not, you don't want to be in the middle of the pack, but you can't, like, hang back too much because each app, I think it's like, it's a very high number, very high threshold, but I think the first half, I think it's like, if you're not in like the top 95th, then it's like the top 90th, and then top like 85 or something like that. So basically, you have to get like very, very far at the bottom to get knocked out.
Okay, so they're like dropping like four or five racers a lap. Got it.
Yes, and so yeah, I mean, that's one way to get knocked out. The other way to get knocked out, it is F-Zero, is your boost is also kind of your health. You have a meter. I mean, if you played F-Zero, you know how this works. You have a meter that is your boost, and you get, you know, use your boost, you cut through, you break, you know, find a, and you can only refill it at certain charge pads. So you can use your boost, but like if it runs down and you get knocked into a wall, or if you collide with a wall, if you collide with other racers, that's it. You will be knocked out and game over. So it's kind of competition between like how much do you know to check, how much do you want to use a boost versus how much is like I just want to finish the race, and I'm kind of in the camp of I just want to finish the race right now. The other thing they added is when you are racing people, while you're racing, other people in front of you, if they knock into walls, if they knock into each other, they sparks or something like that. And if you collect enough of them, you're able to do a sky view, which is you jump above the race and you go on a separate like line that for like, I don't know, 7 seconds or something like that. But it's a great way to kind of speed up and catch, you know, kind of make headway, because you don't have like other people will go up there with you, but it's not going to be 99 of the cars. At most, I've seen maybe like 10 of them up there. And it's a straightaway. It turns with the course, but it's a straightaway, so you don't have to worry about hitting the sides or anything like that. So that is also, you know, that's one of the things I kind of focus on early on, is like trying to get that. And you can do it multiple times per race, as long as you know, it takes a while for the meter to fill up. And of course, the further ahead of the pack you are, the less you get. So like, you know, at some races I start in like top 10, and then like you just kind of fall behind and stuff like that. Unlike the other 99 games, this one actually does a decent job of introducing you to it. You play through, I want to say you play through 3 races as tutorial. It teaches you about the basics of playing F-Zero. It teaches you about, you know, like you start off with 25 and 50, then finally 99, and that's all AI characters. And you can still go to tutorial. You can still go to these training races afterwards. As you play the game, you'll unlock tracks that you can then practice on. Again, if you don't know F-Zero, it's been 30 years. As some people point out, it's been 20 years since the last game. And right now, I think there's 4 cars you start off with, and each one, like, you know, they have their different stats, and then you unlock skins and character emblems. I will say, as of person who's not a huge fan of F-Zero, I actually find it really fun. It's, I mean, again, 4 apps is probably like 3-4 minutes. It's not very long. I mean, I think that's always been the charm of the 99 games for me. It's like, they're not like, they're like things you can play and like kill 10, 15, 20 minutes on. I'm not going to sit here and spend all night in it, but like for something to play after work or something. It's very charming. And good music too. Yeah, you know it. You know it. You've heard of this F-Zero thing before, right?
Yeah. I didn't laugh though. That was their like return to. I guess cool. I guess that's a neat idea. Like it sounds fun. I probably will play it, but it was like, man, yeah, people have been waiting for F-Zero since, like you said, 20 years. This is what you get. It's this game that probably won't even, like, didn't they like shut down the Mario game?
Well, I mean, I was gonna say, I think like people have said that, but because like Tetris 99 still goes on.
They're shutting down Pac-Man in October.
They're shutting down Pac-Man.
Oh, yeah, there was a Pac-Man one. That was a good one.
But Pac-Man wasn't Nintendo, was it? I feel, and I, again, I could be wrong. I feel like it's more because Mario 35, for instance, was always advertised as a limited time thing. It was for the 35th anniversary. It was like out in October, over in Watch. Yeah. The hope was
you're right. Yeah.
Hope was that they would continue onwards with it, which I really do hope they bring that back at some point.
But, I do like these types of games, but they do have a kind of a shelf life. I think, you know, like it's. I don't know. You play them for a couple of weeks and move on. But why shut it down? You
know? Pac-Man 99 is not a Nintendo game. It was Namco, developed by Namco and published by Namco.
Yeah. So I understand where people are coming from and I get it. I'm just like, it's hard because I guess it's been 3 of them. 2 have shut down. 1 was average. I mean, it's the same thing like we complained about Mario 3D All-Stars. Like Nintendo's like, we're going to do this for this amount of time. And they have. But like Tetris 99 has been going on for years. And like they continue to support that with, I don't know the last time, but they usually have like those weekends where it's like, oh, play this and you can get like a Splatoon skin or a Mario skin or something like that. Yeah. And I could see something like that with F-Zero where it's like, oh, maybe we'll get new races or you'll get like different backgrounds or stuff like that. or like maybe they'll, you know, like if it's successful, maybe they'll introduce like the Game Boy courses or something like that. But yes, this is very much a Federation force. This is very much, you know, Chibi Robo Zippit. It's where like people want the next iteration of this game that they love, and this is what they get. The only difference I would say between those and F-Zero 99, and I could be wrong, is I feel like F-Zero 99 is in the spirit of F-Zero, of what F-Zero wanted to be, in that like, it's like this chaotic circuit racer. Like now, like instead of having like 12 people on tracks, you have 99, and you're still racing them, and it's still so. It's still a racing game. It's still within the same genre. I think people wanted the pure F-Zero was like time trials and like, you know, but like this is kind of in the same spirit where like something like, again, Federation Force is not necessarily what anybody would expect from a Metroid franchise.
No. But I mean, it's nice that they thought of F-Zero, so.
Yeah, it's also, they're also smart enough to not charge for it. I mean, you have to get NSO, but I do think it's a good, it's a novel idea, and I hope they do continue to explore it. And who knows, maybe it's popular enough that they do revisit F-Zero in the future. I mean, again, we'll get to the news in a bit. I mean, GameCube remakes are in now, apparently, so you maybe never know.
Maybe it's an appetizer type thing, you know, like it's like, oh, you know, remember this?
Yeah, it very much, I mean, we've seen it more recently tied together, but Pikmin 1 and 2 came out before Pikmin 4, Metroid Prime 4 came out this year. So yeah, I have one. I would recommend checking it out if nothing else.
I love my GameCube. Love getting validated. Just saying.
we will talk more about that. Really.
And then the other thing, real quick, was again from the same thing. We'll talk about in a second. I mean, it's the direct. We don't have to like be vague about it. I guess.
No. Yeah.
Really?
But I also tried out the Dave the Diver demo because I think we've talked about this before. Been very curious because I've heard nothing but good things about it. So I tried out the demo because I think, I don't know, I hate the it's console first on the Switch, whatever that means. And so far it's okay. I mean, I've heard, like, I guess the demo won't really tell you what everybody talks about. Whereas like it becomes more chaotic and you know like it's story driven and it's like heartwarming and stuff like that. You don't necessarily get that with just the first the sample that we got so far. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Tony, do you play anything
else besides Starfield? Okay. Lots of Starfield.
I finished Sea of Stars.
Yeah,
that I really, really enjoyed that quite a bit. There are things that happen in that that make you very sad. If you ended up liking the characters,
yeah,
of that
sorry, no, that's sad.
But yeah, I think it does a really good job. I enjoyed playing, you know, all the way through it there. You if you have played the messenger and you know the messenger, like you're going to run into characters from there and locations and stuff, but you know, it's a small portion of the game. And then there's like this, you know, everything else that's going on in the game, but bigger with the new characters that are there. And the direction the story goes, like the story, I think is really, it's what pulls you through. Like the characterizations are really good. The story's fun. The combat is always engaging. Cause you know, you have to press buttons while it's turn-based, but you're always having to do something. I mean, I guess you don't have to, but
doing the Mario style. Yeah.
Like it keeps you engaged enough.
Yeah.
And some of the boss battles get really, like, you know, you have to really start thinking, okay, do I use my magic here, or do I use a regular attack to get a boost?
What order do you, like, you know, like choose your party in? Yeah,
and like, and that's what's kind of neat is that you can, you know, as by the end of the game, you have five or six people in your party, and you could just swap them out as, like, the game, like in the middle of battle, you could just swap into a different character.
Does your party ever increase beyond three?
So the on-screen is always only three, but, like, you can then swap out. So, like, you know, if Valerie, like, you don't need moon magic or whatever, you can swap the, you know, the pirate lady in, or there's some other characters you get as well. So you could do that on the fly in the game. So it's basically you have a six-person party, but three are on screen at one time.
But my assertion that it keeps getting better was correct.
I think it holds through all the way through. It's, you know, some of the dungeons have, like, really cool puzzles that you have to kind of go. Like, they're not super hard, but, like, they're engaging enough that you're like, this is much better than a normal turn-based dungeon, because, like, you're doing a little bit of platforming, you're doing a little bit of puzzle solving, you're doing a little bit of, you know, combat. It's all kind of mixed together. And then there is a point towards the end of the game where it's like, you know, they kind of lay it out, like, you've been collecting these conch shells all this time, and you unlock some other things. You unlock, like, a way to kind of fast travel. Early on, you get the pirate ship. I guess not early on. It's probably like 5 or 6 hours into the game. But you get another mode of transportation towards, like, right towards the end of the game. And then they're like, hey, there's all this other stuff you can go do and explore if you want. Like, you don't have to. Like, you can go fight, you know, the final battle. There's a true ending, I guess. I did not get that because it requires you to go collect everything. And I was just like, I was not doing that from the beginning. There are probably, like, nooks and crannies. And, like, it's one of those things that I don't want to go back to 60 different locations.
Yeah.
to make sure that, like, I got them all.
That was one thing that was bad about, I mean, totally different random game, but, like, Wind Waker, remember the end of that? It was like, go all over and get, you know, they do that in a lot of games, Metroid Prime, you know.
Well, like, you don't have to, like, you will roll credits by just going and fighting the final boss, but then there's, like, if you do that, there's, like, a special final boss. And it's the way that game ends, like, you're like, oh, okay, you know, this is a little, it's neat, but it's also a little sad because of, like, what happens to some characters. But, like, if you go through with all the finding all the collectibles, doing all the side quests and stuff, you can turn back some of that.
Garl, does Garl die?
Not gonna get into that.
So that's a yes.
Garl!
No,
and honestly, not too far past where Jeff stopped playing. So, because you weren't at the end like that, like you were maybe at the halfway point.
Yeah, I love the game. I wish again. It's just because, like, Starfield is, like, an all-encompassing game for me. So it's like, but I love Sea of Stars. Sea of Stars is a fantastic game.
Music is great. I think it visually is great. I thought we had best character on our game of the year awards list. We must have moved it out for something else.
Add it back.
I think we should, 'cause, like, we have best weapon, but I don't think there's been anything that has, like, I think we had best weapon in there because there were games last year that had like cool weapons. Like
I don't know. I don't know how you're saying this. Nothing. I mean, Mario turns into an elephant. I don't know how that's not winning this year.
Yeah, good point. Very good point.
I mean, is that a weapon though?
Yes, it's a power up.
It's a character.
He uses that's that best strong
character.
Yeah, elephant Mario, right? Like he's a character. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess you could stomp on people, but and that is an attack. Yeah, we might need to go through because I think there have been some cool characters in games this year, and I think we might want to add that. There's some cool characters in Starfield that I think we might want to add in. And
well, I would
like the annoying fan.
I would suggest you figure that out now because then I think what happened to Ashy is like then it comes to Semi. I'm trying to figure out remember what.
Yes, yeah, yes. I think we might want to make that shift, and I don't think best weapon. I don't think there's anybody that's been like, yeah, these are really cool weapons. I don't think anybody's going to go the need a Grendel. Grendel's the best. God. So yeah, Sea of Stars. I will be talking a lot about that come January next year. So, real quick on another game I plan that. I don't know what came over me. I was like, I want to play like trivia games or something. And I have the Scenic games on 360. I have one though, specifically, it's called Mega Movies. And it was the arcade version of it on the 360.
Yeah. I look back. Funny, man.
And like one, they should bring those games back. Like all these games, like all the stuff in all those four Scenic games, like it's all outdated. Like they're all 10, 15 years old now at this point.
But that's what I was going to say. I think that's always been the issue though. It's like it's a good business model, but they get outdated. So I think the same thing with Trivial Pursuit. It's like, like 2-3 years and people don't really know what you're talking about anymore.
Yeah. Like my parents have Trivial Pursuit from like, when I was a kid still, and it's like this stuff is referencing the USSR because that was still a thing when you bought this game. And that's the thing with Cnet is like all these things are outdated but you're not updating with new questions at this point, so you run through those questions really fast, but those games were a ton of fun. I like the format of like, hey, we're going to give you this movie clip and then we're going to ask you questions about it. Also, just some general questions about like the movies or the actors that were in that movie. And we're going to do it in different formats and stuff. Mega Movies, not a great version of that. It was designed to have a bunch of extra DLC and no DLC ever came from it. So I think it only ended up with like maybe 300 questions total. And you can burn through that pretty quick. Like I was seeing repeats as I went through it, but bring back Cnet. I know Earl said it's hard, but bring back some like movie trivia games.
Yes, I would say bring back movie trivia games. Yes,
yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be Cnet, but like
there are some other ones that are a bit better. Well, not better. More board game-ish, like the Blockbuster game and Popcorn Time or something like that.
How is that Blockbuster board game? Is that any good?
It's more of a party game than it is a trivia game because it's more about like here's a genre, you have to name stuff in this genre as fast as you can and stuff like that instead of like actual like movie trivia, so you know it's easier for more people to get into, but I don't necessarily know if that's. But as I get
mentions, and I remember I played the very first Cnet back in college, early 2000s, and you talk about like that stuff being dated from the 360. The original one was like a hardcore.
Like a hardcore movies fan stuff. So like it was in early 2000s. We were getting stuff about like Doctor Strange of, and like things. So it's like all black and white movies, Citizen Kane, and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, as I got older, it made sense. Like, oh, this is like a. But I'm like,
come on, Earl. Time,
again, you're talking about somebody who's 18, 19. I did not have a movie knowledge to be like, I do not know who this is. I did not know what movie. And then I think as they, I think they got that feedback, because then the other ones would be more contemporary, more topical. And then they started doing stuff like, I think there's like a Friends one, and I think there's a Harry Potter one and stuff like that.
Yeah, I had a Star Wars one at one point. I'm trying to think back to the first one, and I don't think I played the first one like you did, Earl. And I was like, was it on VHS? But it was on DVD. They thought about doing it on VHS, and it just wasn't possible. But I thought those versions on the 360, and I think probably PS3 at that point, were it was a good model, and I think it was too early for it because we didn't really have live service games where you would add those like DLC packs over and over again. Maybe they could do something on, like, it doesn't have to be on console, but do something on phone or something like that. Like,
yeah, I was, cause I think we talked about it and you mentioned it, and I just looked it up and the reviews, cause I guess the Revive seen it on phones and the reviews are not great at all. I think it's like a 1.2 stars on Android. So
yeah, evidently that app, not good. The game, the structure of the game is probably very similar and still enjoyable if it worked, but the app, very bad. And you had to buy it, like you had to go to Target and buy it. And then set up, like you would set up through the board game. You would have to download it to your phone, and like that would be how you get the movie clips, I guess. I don't know. It didn't seem like it worked very well. Anyway, I played that, and that was fun to go back to, but unfortunately, not a lot of questions in that Mega Movies one. Mm-hmm. All right, we have a lot of news.
A lot of news. I don't know why.
Well, I think. I think you might have been the one to say this. Tokyo Game Show is next week, so seems like some of these especially the Japanese companies are getting out there with some of their announcements beforehand.
Before we get to all the shiny new games and announcements,
I
think we should touch on the big story of the week, which is what I touched on my intro, which is whatever the hell Unity's doing.
Yep, I wrote it down here. Unity's bullshit.
I mean, I would, the reason I would say that is because literally, I think this was announced Tuesday. This is Thursday. It might have been Monday. And in that time, I think I've gotten like six, like half a dozen different variations as to what it is and isn't and what it covers and doesn't cover. So for those who aren't paying attention, I think Unity came out this week and said that after certain thresholds, which I think was like 200,000 installs, which is one of the things we'll get into in a second, they would start charging a flat fee for every install beyond that to, well, that's the other thing. Apparently that was to anybody. I think at some point they were going to charge Microsoft for people who did it via Game Pass.
Yes, they were going to charge anybody that was utilizing their engine and downloading it. And like that doesn't really make sense to me at all, but okay. Yeah, so they walked that back. So originally it was like, we're going to charge the developer or the publisher for every download over 200,000.
You go to re-download a game and it's like, it's $1.29. I was like, what?
Or you got like Humble Bundle, like, where they're like giving the games away for free.
Not you. They wouldn't charge you, Jeff. They would charge the developer or the publisher 20 cents Oh, even downloading it. So then you would delete it, and then you would download it a month later again. They would charge them another 20 cents.
That's where it got insane. It's like it was per every time.
And they didn't make it. Does it include demos? Are there no more game demos because it cost them 20 cents per download?
Right. And then they walked it back a little bit and were like, oh, well, like, it wouldn't be the developers or publishers if they've gone to a third party, like a subscription service. It would be the subscription service that has to pay. So basically they're pushing it at Sony and Microsoft and Humble for having stuff in like a sub service.
Have they walked this back yet or no?
They've walked a lot of it back.
They walked many parts of it back. They're like, oh, it doesn't count in charity bundles anymore, and demos don't count, and blah blah blah. The weirdest part to me though is I think I referenced this in the intro too, is that they won't tell you how they're counting these. So they're like, we have this proprietary technology that counts the downloads that we won't tell you how it works or where it's getting these numbers from. We're just going to report the number.
The other end of that too is like I get. Like, and this is baked into Unreal. So like Unreal, like you license the engine, and at a certain point, like if you make over a certain amount of revenue, then Epic starts taking a royalty from you. That seems pretty standard for how engine licensing works. But with this, they're like, we're going to charge you for the download, but like, you're not hosting it. Are you? Like, why is Unity host? Like, Unity wouldn't host it. It's hosted on Microsoft server or on Amazon server or on the publisher's own server. It's not hosted off of Unity. Like, that doesn't make any sense why they would charge you for downloads. Like, right.
They're not actually suffering any cost per individual download. It makes sense to them.
No, and I found out, and probably should have known, that the guy who's in charge of Unity is the guy who ran EA back in the late 2000s, early 2010s.
So Riccatello?
Yeah. And it's like, oh, of course it's him. Of course it's the guy who tried to penny pinch as much as he could. Because he was the one who did...
The $10... Yeah, the $10 online pass, yes. EA pass, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
We need to get our money from the used salespeople. So you get an online pass with the game when you buy it, but if you buy it used, you won't get it. You'll need to pay us $10 more. Oh, yeah. Whole thing is a mess.
Yeah, I mean, all this will end up with is people developing new games in platforms other than Unity.
Yeah, that's
I would not use
like you've incentivized developers to not use your product, which is a bad business choice.
Yeah, one, it's incentivized, like, so like I was like kind of like exploring, like, oh, I want to learn like game engine stuff, and like Unity is one that comes up, like lots of like independent developers use it, and I was like, I could mess around with it, but now no, like I'll mess around in Unreal. Like anything I make is never going to hit 200,000 downloads, but what if? Like, I'm not even going to risk that. I'm going to do it with Epic, and like they have their own issues, but at least their contracts make sense.
Natalie, I think the new what the fuck is that game? Can't think of the name of it right now.
I mean, like Sea of Stars was done in Unity, like,
yeah. And, I mean, there's a lot. It's a commonly used engine. Like, it's not like that. That's the other problem, is that lots and lots of developers use this thing.
Yeah,
use Unreal. I don't know.
I mean, that's what they'll use Unreal. They'll use. I think the one Amazon has one.
The one everybody's talking about.
What's like the? I can think of the subtitle. It's called Silk Song. What the fuck is the game?
Oh, I'm trying to. I know which one you're talking about.
It's an indie game that's like Metroidvania type, and it is using Unity.
Yeah, that's Hollow Knight, right?
Yes, Hollow Knight. Yes.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's not even indie games. I think Nintendo uses it for some of their games. Like, a lot of people use it. It may not be for the entirety of the game, which is another beast altogether, because a lot of games nowadays are like hodgepodges of a lot of different engines and stuff like that. So it's also weird to take credit, like, if you use Unity, to be like, yes, this you're paying us. Because you've already, I mean, I think you already pay them at some capacity.
Right, and like, yeah,
that's the thing.
Your contract should be like, if your game, like, you pay us the flat rate for utilizing the license to make the game on Unity, and then if you make more than X amount of dollars, you owe us, you know, a cut of that, you know, 1, 2, 3%, whatever. I mean, that seems to be the standard way these licenses work for engines. Like, Unity is just, we're going to do that plus this goofy thing that everyone hates, and we've now walked back most of it. Yeah, it's a bit of a mess, and I don't know. Well, I guess we may see these companies move away. I don't know if they're going to stick around with Unity even with the walkbacks, because they just can't trust them to
right.
do it.
Would you trust them to, like, the other thing is, like, changing the terms of service on a product you're already using? That was the other thing, is that they kind of made it sound like, okay, you already have your product out with Unity, we're gonna now charge you for these things.
Yeah.
Like, then I have to take legal action against you. That even if I win, that's an expense and time for me, having used your product, and like, I'm a customer of yours. Like, how could you do this to me?
And I would really love to see how they would make Microsoft or Sony or Humble. I mean, they said Humble wouldn't do it because a lot of their stuff goes to charity, but these subservices, how they would make them pay. Like,
right. What if they just say, no, I'm not giving you money for this?
Microsoft didn't enter into an agreement with you for this game developed by somebody that's not them.
Yeah.
Like, they're just distributing the game. They did walk back. We kind of mentioned early on that it could be, you know, Jeff downloads it, then he deletes it, then he downloads it again, deletes it, downloads it again. They keep charging the developer each time. They did say that, oh, it only counts for the first install. But still, like,
okay. And that shitty. That's I don't want to say they said they walked it back.
Yes, they walked it back after, like, because it was the wording was very much, Jeff installs this three times, we're going to charge the developer three times.
Yes, and then they were like, oh, but it's only going to affect a handful of developers, and it's like, yes, the ones, because, like, again, because I think Unity itself is like, you can download it and you can mess. So I'm sure there's a ton of people who've downloaded it and messed around with it and put out games. There's probably a bunch of stuff on Steam and elsewhere that gets like 5 or 6 downloads. But it's like one of those things where it's like the average and the medium are two different things. So you're probably taking the medium and being like, yeah, look at all this. Look at all these people. They won't be affected because they're not doing it for money. They're just doing it because they want to learn how to make games. So yeah, Unity. It's very uncommon. I mean, I guess not this year, to find a enemy that unifies like the entire any industry around it. We got this in video games, we got the AMTMP in movies and TVs. It's a banner year for villains.
Yeah, and they just keep showing their whole ass, so.
And then of course that guy who runs WB, he's just a paternal villain of the saga,
David Zaslav.
Yeah, I'm never gonna know how to say his last name.
He seems like super ass. All right. Well, on to happier news.
Woo-hoo.
Games were announced today.
Boo! We hate games.
It's weird. We've had 647 of these episodes where we talk about a lot of games and we hate them.
It's all been tongue in cheek.
I mean, if anything I've learned about the video game industry, it's like nobody hates video games more than gamers. So.
That's so true. That's true. The Nintendo Direct happened today. They revealed a bunch of stuff. Some stuff we already knew about, and some stuff we did not. Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door, which Jeff alluded to earlier, getting a remake.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say more of a remaster because I don't know.
It's a remaster. Yes. I mean, it's an HD up-res.
Yes, it looks better, but like combat. And again, I think you know that's totally fair. I think the Paper Mario games have always had a really great look to them. I mean, now you think if they upgraded to like Origami King, which is just like goes full on with the paper theme. But yeah, I mean, fantastic game. Probably my second favorite Mario RPG behind Bowser's Inside Story, the original, not the remake. I you know, it's been, I mean, by the time it comes out, it would be 20 years since it came out. And it's also one of those GameCube games because of, I mean, one, Mario RPGs were kind of niche and whatever. It's actually really hard to find as well, or it's not easy to find for a decent price. So I'm happy for that. So yeah, one of my favorite announcements today.
Nice. Mario vs. Donkey Kong. That is coming in February. I know that's a long running series. I don't think I've played a ton of those though. I know I played at least one, but they're like a puzzle platforming type game. Splatoon 3 expansion,
which actually looks really good. I mean, it used to look different than anything in the core campaign, so that's nice. And again, much better than the first half of the DLC, which is like, here's a not even brand new, here's the old hub world skin.
And yeah, this is bringing like new story, new story experience to the game. So Super Mario RPG, that is a full remake, which we knew about. We knew that was coming. That's coming in November. That looks very good.
I think the two things they showed off were, and again, not the biggest fan of Mario RPG, so correct. I one is correct, two may or may not be correct. It does seem like now Mario, I don't want to say it, but Mario RPG, I think, is one of the first RPGs that really popularized, like, the, not quick time events, but the active time
battle.
Yeah, where you press, you know, like you, kind of, yeah. You know, like when I see the stars, when you press a button.
Yes.
And apparently now, like, if you do it really well, some of the attacks also do area of effect stuff damage as well, which I think is a change from the original. And then the other one, which is kind of like, I'm happy. Halo, I think, you know, Halo Combat Evolved did this, and I like that a lot of games are copying it now. Not the graphics, but you can switch between the original music and the remastered music in the game as you're playing.
That's
not,
neat.
Yeah. I guess on the fly, it was just a button. You do have to go to the menu, but it is nice that they're allowing you to kind of pick between both of those as you play.
We will get to a game where you can flip back and forth between the visuals shortly. Another code recollection. I don't know what that is.
It's what do you call those? Like a visual novel, I think.
Okay, so that makes sense why I don't know.
Yeah, same.
Princess Peach Showtime.
Honestly speaking, looked better than I thought it would.
I'm not sure. Like, I did not watch the entire trailer, but I like skimmed through it, and I'm not sure what that game is.
It kind of looks like it's a lot of people compared it to Battle in Wonderlands or Wonderworld, whichever one that is. It's not exactly that. It's kind of like a macro game collection. It seems like there's thematic stages. Like one stage, she's not a matador. She's like a sword fighter. One stage, she's a baker. One stage, she's a kung fu person. And it seems like, because I can be completely wrong, but based on the joy, like the cake one, like that's her decorating and she has some offensive abilities, but it looks like that's like a game. And then like the fancy ones, it looks like you're running through a stage and you're defeating enemies and spikes. And then the fighting one, it looks like that is like kind of like boss battles and stuff like that. So it looks fun and like, oh, one, she gets to dress up and she's not crying. But it looks like, oh, it's like, okay, we're going to take these set pieces. And I mean, they're literally setting it up that way. She's doing it. She's saving a performance or something like that. So she's getting all these different acts that she gets to, you know, be part of. It's like, oh, it's a cute setup. It looks interesting. Like, it looks like it's going to be, I don't want to say, it kind of looks like it has the vibe of like a Yoshi or Kirby game where it's more like, oh, you're playing it more for just like children. It's not necessarily for a challenge.
That is coming in March, so early next year, packed already with some stuff. Detective Pikachu, that is coming very soon, October 6th. Detective Pikachu Returns, mind you.
That does nothing for me.
No. not feeling the
I mean, it's that a huge Point and Click fan in general, and then it's like, oh, okay, yeah,
that's fair.
Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, is that Dark Moon? Is that what that is?
Well, I was just gonna say, somebody's they noted that it does seem like they opted off the Dark Moon, so it's just Luigi's Mansion 2, but yes, that is Dark Moon.
That is coming next summer. I don't know. I don't think I played the original Luigi's Mansion or Luigi. I played 3, and I like that. So maybe I'll give this one a go.
2 is, and I'm so very curious to see how it. 2 is a very weird one because it was clearly designed for a handheld, and that like it's. I think 3 kind of takes parts of 1 and 2, where 2 is instead of like having one big mansion or one big thing to check out, you kind of do levels, and like you go in, you'll complete an objective, you'll go out, you will do a different part. So it's not one like the original Luigi's Mansion is just like one house that you go through and you find. And Luigi's Mansion 3 does similar, but Luigi's Mansion 3 also kind of has chapters, but mm-hmm. like you still kind of navigate the one house, where this one was very level based, where it's like, okay, we're gonna go here, find this, and then peace out. I think the other thing that people had issues with Luigi's Mansion 2, I think this is the one where they kind of started making most of the ghosts generic, where in the first one, because you were every ghost was kind of like a boss encounter, but they had personalities, where 2 was more like, you know, like the, again, you kind of see that in 3, where it's like more generic. Like you'll have like the you know, the big red guys, which are tough, and then that's where it started in 2. So I'm kind of curious to see what they change and evolve in that format.
Okay. As you mentioned and talked about already, F-Zero 99, that was released today, so it is out there to be played. WarioWare Move It, that is coming on November 3rd. You know, it looks like a WarioWare game with tons of micro games. So,
yeah, it's I didn't realize. I mean, it makes sense with the name. I didn't realize it was like, oh, do like stupid positions and you might score. Yeah, that's how you do it. I'm like, again, I assume it's like Just Dance, where like after a while, it really won't matter. So,
right. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. The final booster course DLC for that. So new courses coming, including Daisy Circuit and some new racers along with that. Diddy Kong, Funky Kong, Paulina, and Peachette. Oh. So.
I don't.
Go ahead.
I don't think we talked about this last week. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. is that Mario Kart Tour is also they're finishing up support for that next month.
Yes, we did not talk about that though.
Yeah, not important. I don't think any of us play Tour, but I mean, you know, the big thing, the big hullabaloo, I guess, for a lot of people is like Tour is coming to an end. The support for 8 is coming to an end. You would kind of think that's pointing towards One Direction. If the team, because, you know, the team's not doing Mario Kart stuff right now, so.
Time to bring on Mario Kart 9 or you know, Mario Kart, you can call it whatever you want, but it might be time for a new one.
New Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yes. I mean the 8 they use is it is a racetrack design, but it is also the infinity symbol. So who knows? Mario Kart 8 just lives on forever.
I mean, it's been 10 years, which is insane to say,
and it's still probably the best kart racer out there. So.
Which is even sadder. Yeah. Not sad. I mean, it's a great game, but
you've got no. It's just like no. I mean, yeah. It's nobody else has come close since Sonic All Star Racing Transformed. So, then there's a bunch of like little stuff here. Spy X Anya, Saga Emerald Beyond, which it, you know, the Saga series, long running Square Enix role playing game, but I don't think anybody here big on playing them. Unicorn Overload, that's a name.
Which, dumb name, but it actually looks really interesting. It looks like a in vein of I am more like a strategy or tactical RPG.
Yeah,
the style is actually really nice. But yes, it has the Square. It's not Square Enix, but it has that Square Enix thing of like, we come up with the dumbest possible name for these things.
Yes. I mean, the name is really dumb, but it's Atlas and Vanillaware, so maybe possibly a, you know, something comes out of that that's good. Contra Operation Galuga, which Contra would not be a, yeah, you would, Contra not like on the tip of everybody's tongue after how it's been treated over the years, but Konami has signed up with Way Forward to kind of redo the original Contra, and that's what this one is. So Way Forward, a good developer for this.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Gameplay-wise, the game looks great. It looks like the original game, or it looks like Contra. Graphically, it's okay as hell.
Yeah.
It's like, why not just do sprites again? Like, these 3D models, just, it doesn't suit it. So.
Well, hopefully it at least plays well.
Yeah, it looks like it plays well. I was just like, oh, like, I've never, like, it seems like it's such a generic art style. I'm like, you actually look like you play decently. So.
Trombone Champ?
I don't know. I don't know.
That's out. It's out today.
It's out today. I'm sure we're all rushing to download it now.
Is that a free download or do you have to pay for that?
Like, it's like $40, I want to say.
Oh, no. So absolutely not. We lost Jeff.
I didn't want to blow his horn.
He was not a tromboner.
And that's a shame because Jeff is. I kind of wanted to get his opinion on Tomb Raider 1, 2, and 3 being remastered and it's coming out on everything, but it made its debut at the Nintendo Direct here. And that is one where, like, the classic visuals are there, but you can flip between them and the remastered, the remastered ones. So I do wonder how that will play.
That's what I was going to say. I don't care how it looks. I'm more curious is like, does it contain, cause like you can't really change the tank controls, but like, right. I don't think anybody likes the tank controls in 2023.
No. And Tomb Raider is, you know, it's an action platformer. Tank control is not the best way to kind of maneuver one of those games. So I hope we get some information that they've updated the controls and it has analog control. But
of anything, like if people want, like maybe have the option for like tank controls, but actually have like full 3D control of the character.
Yes, that would be nice.
Because, like, yes, I mean, you could remake it, but, like, I am not dealing with tank control in 2024. I mean, honestly, I didn't deal with tank controls back in the 90s either. So,
That coming early next year in February actually comes out on Valentine's Day. Yeah. Yep.
I thought that was cute.
Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. I don't know if there was a date on that originally, but that it is coming January 18th next year.
It looks really nice. It was so weird because somebody said like the first trailer had a mixed reception. I'm like, who's mixed on it? It's great. I think it might because it's not like 3D, but I mean the game itself looks phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean it does. If you were hoping for like a Sands of Time type game, yeah, that's not what this is. But in terms of like a visually pretty side scroller, it's looks top notch.
The only thing I worry about, and I think I said this the last time I was showing off, and I think that might have been a PlayStation event, it's like I really don't know how it controls because you have like your arrow, you have your sword, you have like your time jump, you have your there's a lot of things going on, and I'm like, I just want to make sure I'm not like pressing 1,000 buttons at once.
And then the last thing that Polygon has on their list is Horizon Chase Zero, Chase 2. Wanted to say Horizon Chase Zero for some reason, but Horizon Chase 2, and that is a our arcade style racer. The original Horizon Chase game, pretty good. So that one's out today as well.
The only thing I would add from there, and I mentioned it earlier, is that Dave the Diver is coming to the Switch on October 26th. And again, like I said, they said it launches on consoles first. So I assume it's on the Switch, but that could be a week, that could be 6 months, who knows. But that's out next month. Like I said, I know a few people have said really good things about it, so I do want to check it out. Was hoping it would come to Game Pass, so we'll see.
Maybe just after a little bit on Switch by itself, so.
Oh, yeah, and this is not us. I mean, I don't think any of us still, but it's still a popular game. Among Us had a new map announced.
Neat.
The fungal.
That was announced at the Direct as well?
Yeah, yeah. It's a new jungle-based stage. So.
Then Sony also had an event, a State of Play this afternoon. The big stuff that came out of that was the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth release date. That is the as the follow-up to Final Fantasy VII Remake. And that is out February 29th of next year.
I thought it was cute that they got a leap year date, so good on them. Because I'm also assuming it's going to take 4 years if this needs a sequel, so.
Yeah, and it's been a while since a remake came out, so. It looks good. I am interested to see how that plays out.
I mean, I think the same thing with 16. That's not like an RPG. it's like an action game, but you know, do you? Did any of you watch this?
I did not watch it live, no.
Did you see anything from it aside from the Final Fantasy stuff?
I saw Spider-Man 2. There's Resident Evil. I caught the highlights of it.
Because didn't really see Baby Steps.
No.
That game looks so awkward and weird. I mean, it's novel that's so different, but I don't get what it is. It's like the way I said it on Twitter. It's like somebody who's woke up hungover and trying to navigate a space. Because it's like a guy trying to walk around, and it's like he's every step is like important and. It's like there's a bit about it like where some guy comes across, he's like, oh yeah, it's very narrow there, but like, you can grapple across. He's like, you can grapple across. He's like, yeah, where the hell am I gonna grapple from? Like, okay, some of that stuff's funny, but like, it's so awkward. I want to see more of it, but I thought it was like such a weird way to start the showcase.
That, wait, that's what they started with?
Yes.
That's wild.
Oh, wait, okay. Two timeout. Okay. That's okay. So I watched this side. And what they actually started with was this thing was supposed to start at 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
At 5 p.m. Eastern time, do you know what they did?
They said it's going to take another 5 minutes.
Yes. Who starts a countdown to a show that's pre-recorded with a countdown for 5 additional minutes? You start that before. I'm showing up at 5 to see it start, not for you to tell me 5 more minutes. And then they started with baby steps.
I think, I swear Sony has done that before. Showing up and it's like, and the showcase will start. And
this they've done it with Hive shows, which I get. But like a pre-recorded one, it just seems weird.
Yes.
It's like somebody forgot. It's like somebody uploaded the video and like it has to start at 5. And did not account for the fact that we have a 5 minute countdown into the video.
That's a good point. They probably like, cause you know, it was on YouTube or wherever that they set the scheduled release date at 5 PM instead of 4:55 to have a 5 minute countdown tie in. That's hysterical.
Yeah. I would also say, I think, and it's not a very high bar. This was one of the better PlayStation state of plays. One, it was like less than half an hour. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
It looks great. Spider-Man, we got to see more of that. It looks really great. Tales of Arise looks good. Avatar looks decent. Resident Evil 4 DLC was announced and dated. Even the Ghostbusters VR game looks interesting. Like, you know, and they had somebody there to actually talk. So, you know, she always showed up. One, it was a woman. So that's, you know, big points for them because that is. But like, she showed up like twice. But it's like, it's good. Again, you get that break. Somebody to talk to the audience, give them a read to tell you what's important, what's not important, move on. It was a very nice, brief showcase. Some good stuff here. You know. The one thing people pointed out after the fact, which I am with, is like after Spider-Man, we don't know what Sony has up its sleeve. Like, I think we know about Wolverine.
Yeah, but that's probably years away now.
And yeah, I don't really know what else they have.
That is a good point. I mean, Naughty Dog's got to be working on something. Because their last real game was The Last of Us 2. But yeah, like God of War released last year, Horizon released last year. So those teams are busy working on whatever's next and they won't be ready next year. Insomniac, they have two teams, but I'm sure most of them have been working on Spider-Man. Maybe a new Ratchet, maybe. That was 2 years ago at this point, so maybe that team is working on something. But
it's just, I mean, they got Final Fantasy early on, I mean, and I guess they have the Game Awards. It's just really weird that, and again, I could be wrong. Maybe there's other exclusives that I'm thinking of that I'm just missing right now. But like, it's weird they going into the new year outside of Final Fantasy, VII Rebirth. I don't know. I don't even know like, any third-party exclusive they got lined up.
Yeah, outside of Rebirth, I don't know. I mean, they always do have something, but nothing big, it seems like. At least that we know of. So, yeah. That's the state of play. Pretty, you know, decent, you know, with what was announced to... I'll probably play that Resident Evil 4 DLC, which is just the original Separate Ways add-on from the original game. But, you know, it's done in Resident Evil 4 remake version, so...
Yes, and I mean, just to like, you really devil down Resident Evil 4, they also showcase the Resident Evil 4 VR stuff as well, so...
Yeah, they had some VR stuff at this, and they're still pushing that P- PSVR 2, so. And they showed off some new shells and controller colors, metallic red, blue, and silver. So they actually look pretty nice. I don't know how those covers work, though. And also, those covers are expensive. Like, I think they are like $40 or $50.
That is a little much for a cover.
Like the controller, like they're going to charge normal price, so $60-$70, whatever a controller costs now. I can justify that because that's what controllers cost.
Right.
$40 for.
It's like a sale price for a controller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I can't see myself buying these shells. That's it. We did lose Jeff at some point, so
R.I.P.
The Eagles looks like they tried to lose. We thought it was going to be a bigger blowout than it was, but
hey, it means I'm on the scoreboard for our thing. I'm with Bob, and yeah, decent performance from my tight end. So yeah, 22 points for. Hawkinson?
I don't know. Is that a? That's not the Eagles' tight end. Is
Vikings.
It? Yeah, it was Vikings.
Hey, they still got me points. I don't care.
I mean, Cousins had a good game, but he did not pull it out in the end. We did have a quick trio of questions. Jeff is not here to answer them, but would you prefer a Metroid Prime release on the current Switch or on the next console that is rumored to deliver 4K and 60 frames per second performance?
I believe Jeff did answer this question.
He said yes.
He said yes.
And I kind of agree.
I thought Jeff would just answer he preferred Metroid Prime 4.
Yes.
He wants both.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's like a bridge game. It's like the last game on the previous system and the first game on the next one.
And that's what I also think of that. I could see something like Paper Mario doing that too. But yes, at this point, it makes no sense. We've already got a Metroid on this console. We got a Metroid Prime remastered. Build up some goodwill. The flip side, I guess, if you're a big fan of Metroid, is like you want it on the Switch because the Switch has a huge insane. Install base, a lot of games on it have, what is it? Dread is the best-selling Metroid game of all time. So you want to build on that momentum. So it looks good to Nintendo. And it's like, yes, we can continue making these games. But you get a more marquee lineup if you are, I don't necessarily think it would be launch, but I think it would be like a launch window game. Like it's not, I don't think Metroid is big enough to be like, it's not Breath of the Wild. It's not, Mario 64. To launch a system into the nether stratosphere. But I think it's a really good, like, if the system comes out in, like, September, it's a good, like, November game.
Yes. Question two was, when it comes to long-term game support, what do we prefer? Yearly releases or long-term support? Like Call of Duty or Fortnite type of support? Forza seems committed to long term, and so is Starfield as current examples. I think there's a difference here. Like Call of Duty and Fortnite are, and Forza also live service games. Starfield is not that. Starfield's a single player. Like we're gonna get expansions, but. I don't know. I think it depends on the type of game that it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the long and short of it. Is like you like long term support could be very different. Like Fortnite again, Fortnite I've been playing it for years, but like that long term support is they get enough money from that battle pass every year to support it and have like. All these collabs and stuff like that, but it's not something I would want from every game. I mean, we've seen it time and time again with stuff like Multiverses or Nickelodeon, where it's like we're trying to copy Fortnite, and it's like just because you can sustain a game for a long time doesn't mean that that game supports being supported for a long time, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, yes, like Starfield can, like, I can't see you doing Starfield where it's like, oh, you get an update every 2 months. Like, Starfield feels like you get something like maybe once a year. And it's something meaty instead of like, oh, here's some new costumes, here's a new planet. Like, that just feels insulting sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how Starfield will be handled, right? Bethesda always has like one or two expansions for their games. We'll get that in a year or 18 months or whatever. And that'll be it. That's what we get for Starfield.
Like, if I was to, and these, again, very dichotic, very different, but if I was to compare, I'd say like, it's Destiny versus Fortnite. Destiny has, I mean, to their credit, they said like, Destiny 2 would be a forever game. And it's been, I don't even remember how long. It started on the last generation.
And, forever.
Yeah, and Destiny 2 is like every, you know, like once a year, they'll have updates, but like once a year, they're like, here's like the big new next chapter that's going to continue this saga, and you still get to keep that game. That's a very long form support. It's essentially them doing like expansions every year, and it works for them. But yeah, I for example, I couldn't necessarily see that with Halo because that's a very confined story. Like, I don't know, I don't want you to like prolong that story just to pad it out because you need to give me content.
Right.
So that does end with a cliffhanger. So bad example.
I mean, 5 ended with a cliffhanger too. And they didn't resolve that. So
I thought they resolved it in passing.
Yeah. And basically they were like, yeah, we got rid of all the AI and fought back and then shit went bad because the brutes took over. Yeah. So, yeah, it really for me, it depends on the type of game, much like you were saying. So, Tony, how do you like, I assume it's the same.
Yeah. Also, when it comes to early releases, fuck Madden.
I mean, I guess the other thing is like he's like sports games do releases, and that's, I mean, that's a different beast. But like, we don't like Call of Duty comes out every year, but it's not like it's Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1.2. Like, they're different games, especially the way they do Call of Duty, because like Modern Warfare like is interspersed with like Black Ops and
Well, they also have so many teams working on them that like. Like, the Call of Duty that's coming out this year has been worked on for several years. Whereas, like, some of these other yearly releases, like, they've been working on the game for 12 months. And that gives you a much different product.
Well, again, I think a lot of, like, they have alternating teams. I think, it's like, again, but I think, and again, I could be wrong. I think the era of like those big yearly releases, like outside of sports games, Madden, NBA, WWE, like there are like Assassin's Creed doesn't do yearly any. Like they're very mixed. Just Dance keeps on trying to do a subscription model, then they balk at that. But I think that's yearly. So it's like that. It's Call of Duty. It's not like before. Like we get a Just Dance every year. You get that, I mean, not Just Dance, wow, Guitar Hero or Rock Band, or, you know.
Yeah, they tried and they burned them out real quick, right? Yeah. Like,
I mean, that was more just that's expensive. That's, I mean, what is it? Rocksmith? That went to a subscription model and that still kind of goes on.
Yeah, and Rocksmith is an educational tool, so.
Yeah.
Like, there's different reason for that.
Yeah, same thing with like a Skylanders and Disney Infinity, where like those were clearly games that should have been like you buy the base model and we will sell you something every year. And instead of like, no, the stuff you bought last year does not count. Here's a new thing for you to buy. And we're going to make sure this is full price and you have to buy it every year. And it's like, yeah, that's not going to sustain.
Yeah, like there should have been one Disney Infinity, one Skylanders, and then every year, like, there's like a $30 expansion that, you know, adds new gameplay or new worlds or whatever. as opposed to how they handled it, which was, here's $7,000 worth of toys to buy this year, and then next year is Disney Infinity 2 or Skylanders Giants, and another $7,000 worth of toys for you all to buy. Like,
yes, and the shitty best part about it was they were so greedy and selfish. They were like, not only are these brand new, but your old ones, they don't even work with this. Yeah. So,
or a, good luck like going to a sale and buying the ones that were the correct ones for the thing that you had.
And then I think Disney Infinity this, but I wanted, like, they started doing variants as well because we're comics, because it was like, here's like the Crystal Cleared versions and here's like the Toys R Us exclusive version, and it's like, oh no, this is not, I like, yeah, no. So
yep. I burned it out, got too greedy.
It's such a shame too, because I think those were great, they could have been great business models. If it was like, okay, like Disney Infinity, for example, you buy a portal. I don't know why I need a portal every year. I got one. It worked.
They would change the damn hookups too.
Yeah. It's like, and then Disney also had that stupid rule where it's like you couldn't, like Marvel characters couldn't interact with Pixar characters or whatever. I think near the end, they got rid of that. But then by that point, and again, the fact that three of them, because we talked about Skylanders and talked about Disney Infinity, and then like at the very end, Echo Dimensions came out.
Another one where, like, I mean, that one didn't get to live past its first iteration, but...
But they were actually doing a thing. They were doing it where it's like, you bought the base game, and then we will sell you DLC via these toys. And I'm like, yes, and that's the thing. It's stupid, but you charging $60 for a thing, and then every year you tell me like, here's $10, you get a figure and you get additional content. I'm like, I'm gonna do it because I get that where you tell me I'm gonna charge you $60, then I'm gonna charge you $60 the next year. I'm like, no. You did it once. You don't get to do it again.
Yeah, just let me give you the $15-$20 for the Doctor Who expansion and $15-$20 for the Ghostbusters expansion. Like, let me do that.
Yeah, they had a good thing and they had to ruin it. They just had to ruin it. I don't know why I'm so bitter about these toys to life. I thought it was such a fun concept, and I think we've had this discussion before. It really does feel like outside, I mean, Travia Tales Echo game, it really does feel like that was kind of the death of like kid-specific games on consoles. Not that we don't still get them, but it's so far and few between now outside of Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, they exploited the hell out of it. And, oh, we're not getting the return anymore. Well, you could just release good games for kids and not try and milk their parents for, you know, $7,000 a year.
So that does remind me. I don't think this is any, but Roblox was announced with PlayStation 5. I want to say,
was it not already on PlayStation?
I guess maybe it wasn't on 5, but it's coming in on October 10th.
Maybe it was on 4, and the version on 4 was on 5.
Wait, no, I think this is for 4. I'm so very confused. But yes, it was on so it's coming out on it's coming on PlayStation 4 and 5 in October. It's been on the Xbox One since November 2015. Yes, okay.
All right. I had thought it was out on everything already, but
I Odyssey. I visited some friends over the summer, and like one of their kids was big into Roblox. And I tried to have my nephew explain. And like, this is like the first like old man thing where people are explaining it to me. Because like Minecraft, I get Minecraft, I understand. This is because it's not a game. It's a bunch of games that people like. It's kind of like a sandbox collection, I guess is a term I would use.
Yeah, you can go on there and play like different. Like people make like a like runners or whatever, which are just levels that you can like platform through, or they make combat games where it's like 4-on-4 or whatever. It's like, I don't know how they make the games.
Yeah, I don't.
But there's like a whole bunch of different games you can go on and play.
Yeah. So, yeah, they were trying to explain it to me because, like, it's like, because, like, one's just like you tap the screen and out of, like, that's, I mean, that I know, like, what are they called? Not button mashes. They have a term for them. But I guess I don't get them, but I know those exist. And
idle tappers.
Yes, there we go. But yes, they would try it. I'm just like, I'm just not going to get this. This is my old man moment. This is me and video games just being like, that window has passed you by. I mean, I thought the same. I got Fortnite eventually. I get Minecraft. But like Roblox, I'm just like, I don't understand how this works.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. It's not something I really understand too well. Final question. Why does Chris hate me? I don't.
And that sounds like a Chris. I don't know. That's now I'm worried because you didn't say that with conviction.
Yeah, I'm not really convinced that he doesn't hate you.
Okay, well I don't.
I think we need evidence that you don't hate Walt. Like you need to give him a present or something.
Oh well.
Autograph picture of Shrek. Done.
It's a shame that I didn't know he really wanted that because. One of my friend's kids played Shrek and Shrek the Musical at their high school performance. I could have gotten
it for him.
He was over my house for my birthday. I could have gotten his autograph.
It's a shame. It's a missed opportunity.
Yeah. So maybe next time, Walt, maybe I can get you that autograph of somebody that played Shrek and Shrek the Musical. And that can be proof that I don't hate you. Yeah. We'll be back next week. I mean, some of us are going to continue to play Starfield. I don't think anything new comes out, but Tokyo Game Show, I believe, will be going on.
But you forgot the game that comes out this week.
Did I? Oh, Mortal Kombat.
Mortal One Kombat's out.
Yes, yeah. I did forget that. There's a possibility maybe somebody plays that here. Possible. I know Jeff was pretty big into Mortal Kombat 11, but I don't know if he's gonna go out and buy Mortal One Kombat to start. Also, Tokyo Game Show doesn't start until the 21st, so.
Well, it's still next week.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking that was Friday. But no, yeah, it's Thursday. So we may have some news out of TGS for day one. Does Jeff go there? Does Jeff Keighley go? And does he do an opening night live for TGS like he does everywhere else? We'll find out, I guess. One other piece of news here that I saw. Saints Row came out on PlayStation Plus this, I guess, September 1st or whatever. And it is the second biggest launch on PlayStation Plus.
Because $0 is the right price for that game.
Yep. So the only game that has performed better than Saints Row did was Battlefield 2042, and that launched earlier this year on the service. So. Yeah, I mean, good for them. Unfortunately, Volition gone now, but people finally coming around to giving Saints Row the new one a chance.
It's the last one, the final one.
Yeah, and for free is a perfect price for games. So. If you're already subbing to PlayStation Plus, no reason to not give it a shot. Earl, say goodnight.
Good night. Farewell, sweet Vikings. May we see you on the battlefields next week for victory.
What?